It's 27 minutes to 10 o'clock every morning round about this time. Barbara Friedman joins me in studio, lets me know what's trending online. She and the team, of course, look after our social medias as well as curates our website, capetalk.co.za. Barbara Friedman, good morning. Hope you're well.
Yeah, very well. And you?
I'm literally polishing my ID card.
Yeah, because we're going to talk about
this. Because you want to talk about ID pictures.
Yeah, and so this kind of has started to be something discussed online. So we thought we'd chat about it. And that is, you might have noticed this yourself, people out there. Once you have your ID picture taken for a passport or your ID, they might do a little hairdo change. And you might kind of go and say, that's not what my hair looks like. And so people have gone online, and I think it is actually very funny. One person posted a picture of herself, and she said, apparently my hair and nose ring were too chaotic. She said the exact wording was, ma'am, it was going to make problems for an official passport, so the nice people at Home Affairs gave me a new hairstyle. And she shows a picture of herself with, and I don't know if any of you have been in graphic design, but deep etching, which is how you sort of take out the background around a person. It was always a funny thing back in the day when that was done manually, pre-digital layout. People would use a cutting knife to deep etch you.
A stencil knife.
An NT cutter, as we used to call them at varsity. And then they would, and it would look so hilarious because you'd have these slightly weird like angles around your, what was a natural hair curl. Your experience, Lester?
Since I saw that and you brought it to my attention, I looked at my ID book, my hair, and I usually wear a... There's not much there, and I have an... Oh, gosh, the male pattern baldness. This is a fairly new ID. It's pointing that this is not a 4-head, that's a 5-head.
So that's like a future... That's like a future Lester.
So they've cut out my all my dreads.
Correct.
And I've only really paid attention to the picture after this was... pointed out on social media. Home Affairs with your new smart cards, giving yourself a new hairstyle. You still have a green ID book. Not here. Get with the program, Barbara. But what does your ID picture look like?
No, so my ID picture is very ancient. But this one was, this is about 12 years ago, which is hilarious. That's my passport. But they did crop my hair.
It looks very...
It's a helmet.
It's like 1960s helmet.
Helmet hair.
Stepford wife.
And my hair was long, actually, when that was done. And it looks like I've got a sharp bob.
Your name should be Peggy in that picture.
I know. It's terrible. So, you don't show that around if you can help it. No offense to any Peggy's out there.
Well, let's put it out there. Don't share your ID numbers. But if you want to share your ID pictures, take out your smart card. Have a look if you're keen on sending to us, maybe. But... please hide your ID number and let us know how has Home Affairs given you a haircut. I only realize now.
I was looking online at some of the kind of guidelines for passport photos and ID photos, and I thought this was quite funny. It's not just your hair, because you know you can have bangs, but it all has to be. Both your eyes have to be visible. I think on your passport, your ears have to be visible. Your earlobes, I think. But they also said if you're wearing a shirt that is very wide or of a low neckline, you might wind up looking like you're not wearing clothes at all. So I just wanted to say it goes further than the hairdo.
My first ID book was at 16 years old. I wore an orange hoodie. And I lost that ID book. But it looks like I'm a guest of the state. I look like I'm in an orange overall. I'd short in. When was it standard?
Mugshots are mugshots.
And I look like a mugshot, really, in the green overall. I still have my original ID book, says this listener, with my ID photo taken by the legendary Falcalca. Wow. Falcalca, a legend from the Woodstock back in the day. I'd really like to see that, Arthur. Not your ID number, maybe your picture,
021446-0567.
Drop me that picture on a voice on a WhatsApp, 0725671567. I'm not a big fan of Barbie dolls. My daughter maybe, but there's a big controversy now about the official Barbie movie. Look, there are lots of cartoon series depicting Barbie or the story of Barbie, but this is now a real life history of Barbie. It's coming for a little controversy as well.
I mean, they say the script is like brilliant, and Margot Robbie's starring in it, and
I enjoy her.
Yeah, and I think, look, I mean, I'm assuming the movie's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I don't know if Mattel are that happy about that, because isn't that really the issue here? So what do we associate with the music around Barbie?
Aqua's Barbie Girl.
There's one song. And
that's the only song that...
Yeah, I mean, do we have it maybe to play?
Do we have Barbie Girl, Johannes?
Well, we can chat about it while he decides if we do. So, I mean, one of the controversies is that Mattel, who are the original creators of the Barbie franchise, are not happy with that song being played. And I suppose it's because Barbie World, living in a Barbie world, is... Mm. It's a tongue-in-cheek dig at the sort of plastic world. Mm. I mean...
So fans and people who've been following it saying... Well, that song by Aqua is so iconic to the story, not maybe the official story, but there's also a commentary on Barbie dolls that it should be in the movie. But I remember at the time when that song came out, Mattel said, well, it's sexualizing Barbie. It's not a racy video at all. It's a fun young video, if I can remember.
Right, because the lyrics in it were Kiss Me,
and Mattel argued, well, it's sexualized Barbie.
Yeah.
The writers of that song, Aqua, said, well, it's actually a feminist commentary.
Which I would agree.
On which I tend to agree with them. And because of that, there's some umming and eyeing on whether the song is actually used in the movie or not. Because, of course, Mattel would have had to sign off on the rights to this Margot Robbie.
Yeah, and in fact, they were involved, were involved in a lawsuit around that song. Because, as you said, they claimed that it was presenting an image which they weren't happy about. But, you know, I mean, really, are we taking this not a bit too seriously? I mean, it's a plastic doll.
Everyone wants to control the copyright.
Yeah, no, sure.
And definitely not if there's a social critique on it. Do we have Barbie? No, we don't.
You might have
Barbie
to play it at the end if you find it. Oh, wait, he says he's got it. Our Joe, Easy Joe, has it.
Let's go party.
I love it.
But it won't be in the movie.
And, you know, like, it's also my name.
Barbie, of course.
No, you know, when I was young, people called me Barbie. I used to get so offended when I was young because I was this, like, little radical feminist. And now I'm like, when people call me Barbie, I find it adorable. Joe calls me Barbie.
Oh, tall, pretty. You had blonde hair once upon
a
time.
I did. Well, that wasn't natural.
Why wouldn't you be Barbie?
You know.
And finally, Elon Musk's mum, 74-year-old, former model, or should we say
current
model, causing waves because she's become the oldest person to appear on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition cover.
Yeah, and you and I had a little chat about it. And, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm getting older and I've embraced my silver hair. So I kind of get this, you know. I kind of, she's definitely trying to change that conversation around aging. And a lot of women are. And, you know, for men, it's very acceptable to be the silver fox. You know, you'll still find maybe a George Clooney when he turns 74 being on the cover of some magazine and everyone will be going, oh my goodness, he's hot. But like women become invisible. That is a narrative in this society that we live in. And I do think, especially since lockdown, when a lot of women, including me, actually decided we're not gonna color our hair anymore. We're not gonna be slaves to the chain of the patriarchy.
She is a fit, good looking 74-year-old.
Really, I mean, I hope I look like that when I'm 74. And I get that it makes some people uncomfortable. I get that, because you kind of go, in a swimsuit.
The maternal quality and the matriarchal quality.
It's even beyond
particularly
that.
The older
it's
woman.
It's the old woman, you know, in society's terms. It's what, you know, they call in archetypal terms the crone. I mean, that has been given a very negative connotation, when actually, you know, it's just interesting if one looks at why this has always happened in society, why women have been made or rendered invisible when they get beyond sort of 60 or 60 or so. And I think I say hats off to Elon Musk's mom.
I think that is the reason why I had this sort of visceral reaction.
Yeah,
was it
understandable.
Was Elon Musk's mom. But I want to delve deeper into this with you. 021-446-0567. Your commentary on these and other stories with Barbara Friedman. After this, you're listening to The Morning Review.